Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there, and welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here. Joining me, two wonderful women, PhD psychologists. They've been trained. They've actually got a license to do what they do. They had to license this thing. And Dr. Jill Hubbard, Dr. Alice Benton. Hi, guys. How you doing?
Yes. Hi. Versus driving without a license, right? Mm-hmm. Not a good thing.
That is right.
Yeah, well, doing good.
We appreciate you guys being here, and if anybody wants to talk with them, 1-800-229-3000. Now this, we're coming into Memorial Day weekend, and for most people, this is kind of the official beginning of summer, and this is going to be a little bit different summer because of this virus thing. I'm thinking, you know, the swimming pools are probably going to open up, but you're going to have to wear scuba gear so that you don't infect anybody while you're swimming. So, you know, everybody's going to have to learn how to get scuba gear and all that.
We need waterproof masks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's going to be interesting. I don't know, maybe the parks and recreation will have these little kiddie pools, inflatable pools, 6 feet apart or something where the kids could come, but they only do that. I don't know how it's going to be, but it's going to be different. And it's going to be, we got to stick with these kids. I mean, our kids have been through a lot, and it's been hard for them not to be with their friends. And so just helping them adjust to what could be kind of a strange summer would be really important. But I hope you have a great three-day weekend here, a Memorial Day, where we try to remember those who have served this country well and have lost their lives and as serving this country. So that's what it's all about. So I hope and pray that we'll think about that this weekend. If you need help, you know, we're always here, Memorial Day or not. We'll be right here, 1-800-229-3000. And I'm just thinking we'll go ahead and go to a caller who's been holding a while. 1-800-229-3000, by the way, is the phone number to call us right now, 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to Yvette from Frank. How do you say that name? That's a brand new name to me.
Frankenmuth.
Frankenmuth. Frankenmuth. As in Frankenstein.
Yes.
Frankenmuth. There you go. M-W-S. Yeah, sort of that. Well, how are you doing today? How's it going?
I'm doing good. I was just wanting to call and get some advice or wisdom. My 15-year-old son, whose dad died 12 years ago when he was two, at 15, he's now been skipping school and smoking pot and different things, and he's now living with my brother-in-law and sister-in-law, which are my husband's family, which we are really close. They're homeschooling him there, but they've put a lot of restrictions on him, and he keeps writing on social media that nobody asks him what he wants, and he begins to cry himself to sleep every night. He still feels awful, but he just doesn't talk about it because no one understands. Mm. So I'm wondering if the restrictions are too much or if it's right where he needs to be.
Yvette, how long has he been living with them?
Just since the quarantine. The plan was for him to stay for a week and come home on the weekends. That was the plan.
But he's been staying the entire time? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
And do you think, I mean, does that work better for you, or what
yeah,
is,
what's the reason?
How do you feel about that?
It works better for me because, like, I was at the point of sending him to Teen Challenge or someplace like mm-hmm. that. He he was just out of control. And when I had the police come and talk to him about marijuana, when Joe wasn't around, he told me there's nothing they can do because it's legal now.
All right, we'll be back.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and really glad that you're with us today. We're talking with Yvette and a 15-year-old really having some struggles.
Yeah.
Yvette, I want to make just one point, and then I'm going to turn this over to Jill and Alice. But sometimes when we send a child off to live with somebody else, and we say, well, the only other option, I was down to like sending him to Teen Challenge. I got to tell you, I think Teen Challenge would have been a better option. That's not a bad place. That's a place of hope and healing and purpose and meaning. And if he's saying he's got nothing there and he's got nothing with you, why don't you guys do him a favor and put him in a program like Teen Challenge or Teen Challenge, and see what the result can be. I'm a mentor to a child that went to an academy, and I cannot tell you the transformation in this child in such a short time.
Mm-hmm.
But just to have somebody go live with somebody else, and I mean,
well,
I don't know.
Let
that
me
that's
just jump in and say something.
Yeah.
You know, first of all, Yvette, you're a single mom. I'm assuming?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. I know what it's like to be a single mom. And there are times when it's just like, somebody help me. I need a team around me to manage things. And so it's wonderful that you have family members that are willing to rally around you. Also, during the quarantine time, it's hard if you're still working and you've got these kids that are having issues and they're acting out. You know, it's really difficult. So I understand why, at least what I'm thinking, why you're saying, okay, come on in, you know, take my son and let's see if a new environment and some structure might do him some good. I think, though, when you're hearing the things that he's posting, you're saying, okay, this has been several weeks that he's been there, and maybe this isn't turning out the way I had hoped. And maybe there really is a need for a stronger intervention, because you don't want to miss a kid's cry for help. And there's lots of different reasons why people use. And I'm still puzzled, Steve, why the police are saying it's legal when a 15-year-old is underage. I mean, you can't buy
well,
it.
He's saying the police can't do anything because
it's
marijuana
legal?
Is legal, but it's
but it's not,
not
legal
for
a 15-year-old.
You wouldn't think so. That's why
no.
I had him come, but that's what I was told.
Well, they have to almost be high in the process for them to do anything. Like, if they're not high, they're not going to do anything because they can't prove it. But if the kid is high or is in possession, then I believe they can do something about it.
Sure.
But that, yeah. So
one thing I didn't tell you, he attempted at suicide a couple times so far this year.
Ooh. Okay, so this kid, he's smoking pot, did you say? Right?
He was, yes.
Okay, so he's smoking pot. So a lot of kids that have issues, mental health issues, will do it to self-medicate because pot really calms you down. So if he's suicidal, and a lot of times kids are a more agitated depression, so it doesn't always look the same as adults. So kids can be very depressed but also seem very anxious. And I don't know if you noticed that in your son, and that's where some of the acting out comes and the agitation.
Yeah, Yvette, tell us
about the treatment that he's receiving, the therapy, the counseling he's receiving.
Well, thank you.
Well, I have been doing a lot, and I have a daughter who's 17 as well, who had some issues, but Joe's my focus right now. He has seen a therapist. The therapist hasn't been working since the COVID, so he's going to start working with her again on Monday through telehealth. She's coming back to work finally.
Good.
So, and he is on medicine. He's on Lexapro and Depakote
from
a psychiatrist. We had
so does he have bipolar issues? Because he's on Depakote.
Yeah, bipolar.
That's a mood stabilizer.
Bipolar 2.
Okay.
And ADHD.
Okay.
So it is a real complex question of whether or not the boundaries are too harsh. I want to speak to that a little bit. Because if the boundaries are new, the structure's only a couple of weeks old, it's just natural that he will fight back and he may increase the unhealthy behavior to try to fight against the boundaries. That's commonplace. That's what happens. And staying strong with the boundaries while validating that you all hear he's unhappy, I would bring these posts to him to say, look, I know you're crying yourself to sleep at night. I want to hear about it. What are you mad about? What are you sad about? How does it affect you that I took you out of our home and I put you with your uncle? Tell me about it. He may not answer any of those questions, but it's your job, and the other adults, to keep asking and to keep giving him the space to answer while holding the boundaries firm. But it's okay to ask his opinion, too. What do you think about these boundaries and this structure? What would you want to be different? And you can hear his opinion, but still make your own decision if you don't agree with his opinion. But let him have a voice in this.
Okay, so
that's good.
A couple of things I just want you to clarify that don't make sense to me. Two suicide attempts or two times he talked about suicide? Which is it?
Well, they were attempts. One, his girlfriend broke up with him, and so he drank a bottle of NyQuil and a bottle of cough syrup.
So did you tell the psychiatrist that is medicating him that that happened?
Yes. Yes, and I did.
What was there any talk about, oh, well, maybe we should admit this boy into some intensive care to protect him and better assess him? Any talk like that?
No, because right when this happened, the quarantine happened, and that's how he ended there. Like, this has all been, like, since February, the end of February.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how long he's been.
Right. And Yvette, I do know that, you know, treatment programs are seen as essential, and that some have been operating during this time. And it seems like your son could really use a dual diagnosis program that deals both with the substance abuse that he's using to cope as well as the mental health issues, and in maybe a more neutral, structured environment. I wouldn't rule that out. And I would be looking at options, and especially now things are lifting. But programs were still functioning. I mean, they're maybe harder to find, but I actually had to find a program for someone, for a client, and you know, was able to admit someone. So
hold on. Let us see if we could help you find a program. But here's the thing. You just don't want to be in this place, Yvette, where you do too little versus too much. Because then you live with this feeling of, oh, I could have done more, but I didn't. I used different things, and they're valid things. You know, if a treatment center near you isn't available because of quarantine, then you find one that is.
Mm-hmm.
Or you find an outpatient program that has converted to online that could engage him. But you really have to pick up the pace here and pick up.
It'll help you to not feel so helpless in this.
Yes.
Because you're trying lots of good things. But if it's not working, then we need to go to the next level.
And as Steve is saying, it's such a mistake to minimize a suicide attempt.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it was just a girlfriend that broke. He'll get over this. But it could be so much deeper than that.
Yes,
and so you want to err on the side of too much treatment rather than too little.
Couldn't have said it better. All right. So I'll send you understanding and loving a person with bipolar. I hope that that's going to help you. But again, whenever we have these kind of challenges, we need to do much, much more than much, much less. Let's go to Billy, Joplin, Maryland. Hi there. How are you?
Hello. It's actually Joplin, Missouri. Sorry.
Joplin, Missouri. Sorry about that. And does it say here that you heard about us from I Still Believe? Is that right?
Yes, it was the movie I Still Believe.
Oh, awesome.
Cool. Great movie.
Yep.
Tell us about you. What's going on with you today? How can we help?
Well, I'm actually been suffering from grief, and it's kind of a very sensitive topic.
Okay.
My best friend killed himself.
Oh.
And wow. We organized a search party, got the fire, the police were out there searching for him. Well, they discontinued the search because he wasn't an adult. Mm-hmm. And, well, I was like, well, I'm going to stay out here till I find him. Mm-hmm. Well, I contacted his brother. They came down and they started helping. His grandpa came down. He helped. His mom came down and helped. And I've been struggling with the aftermath because on the way out from the woods, because it was getting dark, I seen a foot sticking out of the bushes, and I run up there, and I was like, oh, no, and I just started yelling and screaming, and it was him.
So sad. I'm so sorry.
It was very, very tough. You know, worked in the emergency. I was a firefighter for a while. And I've seen, death, and I've seen a lot of, horrible things, but nothing of this magnitude. And
the emotional attachment.
Yeah, this was like you, brother, not just a stranger. Well, what is like the question brother. For us, my friend? What's the question here? How could we help you?
How can I cope with this, and how can I continue to kind of try to push it off to the side and not think about it as much? Because it seems like when I go to bed, I have the nightmares. I go to sleep, and I wake up, and I smell them again, the decaying body again. Can I get rid of all the visions and the smells? I know that's a little rough to talk about, but...
No,
it's real.
I hear you.
Billy, what kind of help have you already accessed?
I had a therapist right after it happened. And I blew through my savings just trying to get help. And I hate to say it, they kind of told me things I already knew. I did go to the Christian therapy, and they wanted me just to pray about it. And I talked in detail about it. And it's kind of like all we did was just talk about it. And it was like, it wasn't much help, if that makes sense.
Yeah, right.
Billy,
so sorry about that.
Billy, I think that you have been traumatized and you're stuck in the recurring experience of the trauma. And it makes sense that the therapy was only minorly helpful, that it wasn't sufficient. And if you have not yet tried eye movement desensitization and reprocessing EMDR therapy, it's a therapy designed specifically for trauma and exactly helps with the kind of symptoms that you're going through. And I imagine with all of the traumas that you've experienced as a firefighter, even though this one is so much worse because you love this man, he's like a brother to you, you said, But it is another loss on top of everything else you've experienced. So I'm sure it opened up some older wounds that you'd also been carrying. I would really want you to try EMDR. It's so effective to help diminish the reoccurring experience of these symptoms you're having.
Yeah, I think...
that's great. One of my friends actually told me about the EMDR, but I don't know how to go about it.
We can help with that. We can connect you. We have a network of counselors.
Hold on, we'll try to help you. Yep. But, this ought to make sense to folks. I mean, if your friend kills himself, then you have to grieve the loss of that. But the traumatic impact of finding him and seeing him and being with him, grief doesn't take care of the trauma. That's a totally different area.
The memory actually gets stuck in a part of the brain it's not supposed to stay in, and EMDR unlocks that and moves those memories to the correct place so they're not re-experienced with such heightened emotion and heightened senses, so that we can remember the facts of it, but it's not like it's happening again to us in the moment.
Yeah, so there are people that specialize this, and some Christian, some not. We'll try to find a Christian trauma specialist. You want to say something else?
Yes, because you know, it's crazy because like I actually tried to go out there and, you know, try to bring peace and closure, and I've been out there multiple times, and every time yeah. it's exactly what you said. It's yes. the reoccurring. Like I'm going to find
re-traumatize.
Again.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad you called.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. I will send you the grief workbook. I'll send you Life Recovery Bible to go along with it. I hope that will be helpful to you. But again, the grieving, that's one thing. The trauma is something different. Billy, I'm really glad you called, and I'll pray that you'll experience complete healing, and this just makes so much sense that there's just something, some other kind, more difficult work for you to do. And
right, and we were kind of talking about how, you know, in going through getting the help that you need and getting the proper treatment with a trauma specialist, it can feel a little bit, you're entering into a period of time where it gets worse before it gets better.
Yes.
Right? But then you do find relief on the other side that's lasting. Yeah.
I love to sign up for stuff where it gets worse before it gets better.
I know.
Not really. Who does? I wanted to get better.
You want to keep going through it. You don't want to just stop in the middle. Because.
Right. Okay, let's. How about we talk over here with Lee from Arvin, California? Never heard of it.
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. So I was just given a video of my daughter sent out, she's 33 years old, sent out a video to all the family saying that she was going to remove her breasts and start taking testosterone. And I just want to know how I can wake up from this nightmare.
Oh, wow.
Do you guys have any tips?
How old is she, Lee?
She's 33.
33, okay. Now, when did you sense that things weren't going just exactly the way they needed to go? When did you have that sense of things with her?
Well, when she was 17, she came out as lesbian, and, you know, I had pretty much...
Now,
daughter had died.
Let me ask you this real quick. At 17, she says, I am a lesbian. Now, were you aware of anyone that, you know, spent a lot of time with her that was lesbian when she was younger or anything like that? Or did she just, did it just seem like one day she's just saying to you, well, here, this is who I am?
Right.
Oh, that's very, very tough. Well, and so now she's saying, I want a total sex change, and she's right in the middle of it, and she's announced it. Did you not suspect anything like that was happening?
Honestly, I was waiting for the other shoe to drop, since maybe she's been with this woman for like the last 5 years, and they're planning on getting married. And so I was just waiting for like the next thing to happen. She doesn't want it. She doesn't say she's transgender. She's not a boy. She wants to be, she's a they. She wants her pronouns to be they, them. So she's not a he or a she. And of course, all this stuff is just crazy making to me. But I also know that it's not my life, and there's really no control that I have over it. So I don't, and everybody up there in her area and her community, you know, they all have that agenda where they just want to, you know, applaud her decision to be who she is. And it's just great news to everyone except her mother.
And Lee, who are you, with whom are you most angry about what is happening with your daughter?
Honestly, God.
Yes. Mm. Yep. And finish this sentence for me. I'm angry with God because
he gave me such a beautiful gift with my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She's so perfect to me. And to have to watch her just destroy what I think is a masterpiece.
is extremely painful and that I have no control to change that or to talk sense into her, that I feel another, like another death, like I'm losing her all over again. Even though I know, like, in my mind, hey, God gives us this for 18 years, and I did the best I could in the 18 years. Absolutely not perfect, but maybe good enough. Maybe that I developed a woman who's strong enough to decide what she wants, when she wants, and how she wants it. Maybe I should applaud that. But I just don't. I'm not there yet.
Do you? Are you mad at God because you expected that he would intervene for you or give you the...
I've been praying since she was 17, you know, Lord, just let her feel the way about herself that you feel about her, that she was perfectly made, that there she isn't a mistake, that there's nothing wrong with her body and her femininity and her womanhood. I wanted all those things for her.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's just...
I'm not even upset that she's marrying a woman. Like, honestly, her partner is a beautiful person. I'm not upset about that. I'm just like, why? Like,
yeah. Well, here's the other thing, is everything that you want for her, you know, God wants that for her, too. And it's so sad, and we, in these times, we just want somebody to fix it. And yet, God isn't going to force his will on her. It gives us all freedom of choice, and it's so painful because you just want God to intervene and make it different. What was her relationship like with Dad when she was growing up?
We were divorced maybe when she was like 9, but we shared custody.
And what was their relationship like?
I think they were close.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
all right,
they were close.
We'll take a break. We'll come back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of 4 devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back and talking with Lee. Lee, we're so sorry for the pain that you're experiencing. We know how hard this must be on you. Like you say, here's this perfect child, this perfect body, and the way God created her, and you really wanted God to intervene and in some way. Jill, what are your thoughts here?
Well, I just think this takes it to a whole new level of having to release your child. And I just hear how brave you have been along the way and kind of step by step going through this. And now to have it taken to the next level. And of course you would be angry. And of course you'd be, you know, asking questions. And I'm, you know, wondering, you know, Lee, if you have had support around you, if you've been able to be a part of other parents suffering in this way, and had some community, because it's a grieving. And, you know, motherhood is a grieving anyway. Excuse me. I mean, I recently lined up all of my pictures of my kids from like junior kindergarten through high school and looked at them at every stage. And, you know, they don't have the picture of, oh my gosh, I knew this person at every stage, and I grieve the loss. Even though I am embracing the person they are now, I still grieve the person they were at each stage and the relationship I had with them. And this takes that, you know, to a whole new level that most parents don't have to deal with, is grieving the daughter that you've had, right? And that something in her anger, her discontent, her perhaps lack of connection with our Savior is pushing her to where this isn't enough. She's got to take it a step further. And so, there's something that isn't content in her.
So what do you think is the best next step?
Well, Leah, I think you need to be cautious of where your anger leaks out, especially if it's with your daughter or her partner, mm-hmm. and how you handle that. So admitting that you're angry with God is a fantastic step you've done here with us, and you even mm-hmm. started to grieve with us, and you need to continue that process apart from your daughter so that you can bring your anger and your tears to trusted companions, to other women that love you and care for you, and then you can come back with kind of a clean slate with your daughter, and you can love her and support her and be with her because you're doing that parallel process of grieving and being angry with other people.
But don't you think, though, she needs to at least, because it's hard to hide, so you at least have to admit where you're at.
Sure.
But then also acknowledge that you realize that you have to grow in that and that you're going to take your pain other places.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's a healthy thing to admit to your daughter, because it would be a lie to for you to just act like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever, mm-hmm. right?
Well, I think it's one thing to honestly tell her that, you know, of course, you know me, sweetheart, and, you know, I'm sad, mm-hmm. so sad that this is the way things have turned out. That's different than just the constantly expressing anger and bitterness and all of that.
Or not saying it and it leaking out, Alice, mm-hmm. like you were saying.
Yeah, and so again, we're in one of these places where you want to heal. You want, and I'll send you healing as a choice. I hope that'll help you, but you want to get in a healing environment with either a counselor or some other parents that are struggling, kids disappoint. You want mm-hmm. to heal so that you're just not going to let the thing that took her life away from what you think it ought to be to take your life away. That's just not going to help. So all of the regret or shame or resentment, anger at God. God can handle the anger, but we got to get through it and we've got to get over it, and then we get beyond it. That's the key, so that you can still have a life that's got joy and meaning in it. And mm-hmm. I think that's totally possible. And I'm really glad that you called, and I hope and pray that there'll be some healing for you.
I imagine that Lee will also need to forgive that community that's mm-hmm. supporting and maybe even encouraging the surgery. Mm-hmm. Anybody that has added to that, Lee, you have to actively work on forgiving them and forgiving mm-hmm. God so that the bitterness doesn't stay with you.
And this is another time to just bring up, when people are struggling and they look at transitioning and things like that, you know, no one thing ever fixes everything. Mm-hmm. And so many people will make the transition thinking that, well, this is going to change everything. This is going to fix it. And it never does. Nothing. No one thing ever does, unless it's, you know, a complete transformation process by, I once was not a believer, now I am, and now I'm open to what God and the Holy Spirit will do in my life. And that's not instant. That takes time, and it takes effort, too. Work never ends. Well, somebody does a lot of great work around here is Larry Sonnenberg. Larry, let's talk about some work that people could help us with. We want to be here doing this work for a very, very long time.
Yes, we do. And here's why. You know, just think of the calls that you guys have handled today on radio. And think of what this person said, because she's a listener. All of you at New Life have seen me through, instructed me through, coached, encouraged, counseled, led, and loved me through nightmarish experiences. The resources you create and provide have helped me not only save this life, but I can now see the changes rippling out. I live a free woman in love for the very first time of my life with the Lord and my Savior, Christ Jesus. Mm. Always, New Life has been the voice carrying the message I needed to hear. Mm. And what could be better, you know, for someone's life to change? And that's what you do when you support New Life. You make a difference in somebody's life. And so we have a matching gift availability. You make a gift, and we will take that much money from the matching fund and double it up to when we reach it. The goal was $374,000. So we have a ways to go, but I know we can get there. And it's going to take a lot of people making some smaller gifts and maybe a couple of people making some larger gifts. But you know what's on your heart, and that's what God measures. Whatever you can give will be deeply appreciated, and I promise you we'll use it wisely. So,
and if you feel that nudge from God while you hear Larry talking right now, mm-hmm. know that if you follow through on the nudge, the blessings will be rained down from heaven upon you. And giving is an antidote to anxiety. So if you've got that combo of being anxious about your money, but God seems to be asking you to give, you will benefit from giving.
It really is true. And, you know, I wish that we could tell you'd get more money back, but you're free. When you have this spirit of generosity, you are free. You know, there are things that you can do. You could support us, and we double that money. You could tell other people to listen to the program. Also, you can tell people to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We love helping people, and we're helping more people than ever through all of this. It's not easy. And so 1-800-NEW-LIFE
is
the number.
Last thought is when people with resources, when they intersect their resources with a ministry like ours that has the needs, God does some wonderful kingdom work, like that testimony I just read. And I hope that's your motivation. So thank you.
Quite a partnership we can put together there. So you call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Thank you, Larry. Let's go back to the phones here, and let's see what we've got here. We've got Rose, Carmel, Indiana. You must live right near me. That's where I am. Hi, Rose. How are you today?
I'm well, and appreciate talking to you.
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, what I would like to know about is really it's a wonderful opportunity. I'm widowed, and I think it's a good sign that after 2 years, I'm actually starting to contemplate that I would like a new companion. I would like a partner.
There you go.
And I had a catastrophically ill spouse who I, you know, did extreme caregiving for a long time. So I had to grieve and let him go slowly over a long period of time. And so it's taken me a while just to recover physically and through the grief of it. And so the fact that I'm even thinking about this is a good sign of life to me.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
And yet, well, it's a strange new world.
Yes, it is. What's the question for us that you're curious about?
My question is, this is a common issue, but it's new for me. And, you know, finding love in a complex digital world with busy people mm-hmm. and mega churches and, you know, distraction. Now, we're all having this pandemic time out to really contemplate things. But, you know, I both feel old and incredibly young, starting over in this way.
Yeah.
And the old wisdom doesn't seem to be helpful with me, which is, don't look, love will find you. Or go do things that you really like to do, and you'll meet kindred spirits. Well, that's been challenging. And then other people say, well, you should do online dating. Well, that's a whole nother shocking area. And so really what ends up happening is I get in analysis paralysis and I just don't go there. And I have had men express interest in me, but they're woefully not compatible. They're just very good friends. They're dates, not soulmates.
Well, maybe we can give you some help right after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. We're talking with Rose, and Rose is in a situation like many of you, later in life, wanting to date and all that. And Rose, the answer to your problem of wanting a companion to date and it being later in life, all you have to do is everything that is uncomfortable. And you just have to do it over and over again, And it's just, you know, it's not. We were talking about some instances where this has actually worked out really well, but it is uncomfortable. And I think I'll send you, is this the one? Because it talks about how do we meet people, how do we up the chances that we could find somebody, and then how to have healthy dating process when you do. But here's what I would just challenge you to do. You really, you don't happen to have any farming background, do you?
Yes, I do.
Oh!
Well, see, I know there's that dating site Farmers Only, and I'm thinking, now that's got to be a little more simple. But I think
you, know
I think
my
you
mom
do,
said
like...
I needed.
What?
No, I'm going to tell you, my mom said, because I am a woman of faith, and I'm also have gifts in healing and discernment and service. And she said, honey, what you need is a retired one-armed fireman who's taken up to preaching.
Yeah. Well, you know, but here's what I would say. I think that's great advice there. When a man approaches you with attention, though, and this goes both ways for both genders, you can be the most discerning person in the world, and you can just do the dumbest things ever.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing, you have to lay the foundation of great connection. Like it sounds like you've got a great connection with your mom, your family, and other people that can try to steer you away from crummy stuff. But I do think like an online dating service, if you're careful and stuff, like eHarmony or Christian Mingle, something like that. I don't think that's a bad idea. And then the other thing is, you were kind of putting it down, but I do think it's helpful to add to that, doing things you like to do, hobbies, things. And with the virus, I don't know what the future is of getting together with other people for painting, sculpture, learning things, classes, and all of
can
that.
Can I, Steve, can I jump in and add to that?
Yeah.
Because I think the difference is, Rose, you are coming to a place where you're awakening that part of you and you're entertaining. You know, we have to imagine things before they can actually be possibilities. So I think that you're moving along, and it's very different to do things when you're in a place of being more open versus being shut down or closed off. And so it has to do with that kind of emotional energy that you have of being more open and more willing and receptive and willing to allow, you know, someone new in your life. That makes a huge difference. And it's not something, it's not really an intellectual thing. It's coming to a place, a different place in your process. And then that being said, it's also letting your friends know that you're coming to a place of being more open and willing. And, you know, you do have to weed through. There's going to be, like, well-meaning friends. I mean, I've had friends and it's like, bless their heart, they love their you know, their husband's best friend, but, you know, he's like 100 years old and I'm not. Mm-hmm. You know, so you have to kind of weed through some of that. But it's good experience to experience different people and get a chance to see yourself amongst, you know, just being out and alive and in the dating world. And so you do have to go on a lot of dates before you find that soulmate that you're looking for.
Well,
I do know this.
How would you script such a thing?
To go on dates?
You mean to your friends?
If you want to be, because the other thing I have learned, and I just think it's Christ in us, and when we have a servant heart and we're self-actualized to the point we, you know, we know who we are and why we're here, and we're loving and we're servant-minded, we're very present with people. If I do that around men, they want to keep me. I mean, I can't find people.
That's not a bad problem.
Who doesn't like somebody that takes good care of them and is loving and patient and kind? And so then I have to say, no, I'm not interested in that. And then it's awkward. And so that's also what holds me back. Because
not all of those guys are going to be that way. There are some men that actually do want to give. They're Christian men that want to put something into the life of another person, not just have a caretaker. But you're never, if you don't meet a lot of them, you're not going to ever have
to find them. You've got to maybe allow them to meet you halfway. Don't be so wonderful. Like, don't be their therapist. Don't be their mother. Don't be their big sister.
I have
I've memorized all these things. There's only one Savior. It's not me.
Well, right, you know, right.
Just because I can doesn't mean I'm called.
Yeah, so you if know, you don't have... If you don't have the problem in finding them, then you know, get to be a little more discerning and let them come to you a little bit. And this is part of this new world, is learning how to say, you know, no thank you, right?
And Rose, you can be in a mode of, I'm just getting to know people.
I'm
going out to make friends, to see how people are, to kind of test the waters. But you don't have to commit right away. You don't even have to commit quickly. It's really wise to have coffee with a bunch of different men to see what it is now at this time in your life, what you like, what you're looking for, and to even just get comfortable with it again and avoid the commitments for a time. Mm-hmm. Enjoy yourself getting to know a variety of men and letting them get to know you.
Henry recommends that in
his
book.
Yes, he does.
How to get a date worth keeping.
So,
you
got
to date 20.
So there's that book. I'll send, is this the one? I just hope and pray that you won't give up. You have such a great spirit about you, and it is difficult, and as I said, it's uncomfortable. But, you know,
maybe you can pass some of them off to your friends who don't have as good a luck, you know?
That's right. Right. Hey, everybody, it is Mental Health Awareness Month, and we do have in our resources on newlife.com, just kind of acknowledging that we've reduced a lot of our resources there that might help if you struggle in that area. And it's nothing to be ashamed of. It's something to get help for. We would love for you to do that. And then also, I just want to mention that May 30th is our next Every Man's Battle. It's just really so thrilling to us, delightful to us that, you know, we've been able to find a way to help people even though we're not meeting. So that's next Saturday, not face-to-face, but it's easy and it's affordable. And so check into that. And then we have Restore coming up, Intimacy in Marriage and Finding Freedom are the other intensives that we do. And I hope that you'll, if you're struggling in some area, you'll let us help you. And it's just a phone call. You know, we've always made the priority that we would not ever farm out our phone calls to some other group. We do that because we really care. And there's kind of a philosophy, or you could say a mindset, of what we do here at New Life, where, you know, we're not waiting for God to do what God's waiting for us to do. Nor are we thinking that we can earn our way to be so good God's going to grant us something. We're just doing our job here. We're doing the work we need to do, serving God, humbly trying to find His will and His path. And God promises us that if we will seek Him, He says, I will be found by you. What a great thing that is. Now, if you need some help, you call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and then also, if we could help you and a friend of yours, somebody, just tell them about that number. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, same number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We help you, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And the website, newlife.com. Now, I'm really glad you're with me here. You could join me again right here, 5 o'clock Eastern time on Facebook Live. God bless you. See you next time.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.